We were discussing the practical tips, and we were talking about the significance of knowledge and mujalasatul ulama, learning knowledge and teaching knowledge and hanging around, sitting alongside the scholars. And a real scholar is the person who is alim-e Rabbani. He's a Rabbani scholar, is the real scholar who has, who acts upon his knowledge and has the strict connection with Allah and with the marbubin, that means the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been narrated in Al-Mawa'idh Al-Usfuriyya that 10 of the Khawarij people decided among themselves, as we are talking about the significance of knowledge, 10 of the Khawarij decided among themselves that when they heard about the famous hadith of Rasulullah, Ana Madinatul Ilmi wa Aliyun Babuha, I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gateway, they discussed among themselves and they said, well, let's go and ask one single question. Each one of us, each one among the 10 of us, will go and ask the same question from Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, and if he responds back to each one of us differently, then we will accept that he is the Imam. You know that the Khawarij are those people who consider Imam Ali as kafir, na'udhu billah, and Muawiyah, la'natullahi alayh, as kafir. So they are so misguided. And so the first one among them, in Al-Mawa'idh Al-Usfuriyya, it has been narrated. The first one among them came to Imam Ali and he asked a question. Well, they decided anyway that they will ask the same question. All 10 of them asked the same question. That al-ilmu khayrun amil mal, is the knowledge better or the wealth, the money? Imam Ali salam replied, al-ilmu afwal, ilm is superior than mal, from the money. And he asked why, and that's where Imam Ali salam replied that al-ilmu mirathul anbiya. والمال ميراث قارون وشداد وفرعون وغيرهم. Ilm is the mirath and inheritance of the prophets, whereas the wealth, the money, is the inheritance of قارون and شداد and فرعون and others other than them. This guy went away. The second one came, asked the same question, and Imam Ali said the same, that money is superior than Ilm is superior than maal, the wealth, the money. He he asked why, and then Imam Ali said, Al-ilmu yahrusuka. Please pay attention, these are very important points, although they seem to be very simple, but they are very significant because they play a significant role in our everyday life. Al-ilmu yahrusuka wa wal-mal tahrusuhu. Ilm protects you, whereas you protect the money. The second one also went away. He got satisfied with the answer. The third one came, again repeated the same thing. Imam Ali al-Salam replied to the third one when he asked about the daleel and evidence why ilm is superior. Imam Ali said, لصاحب المال عدو كثير ولصاحب العلم صديق كثير. The one who has money has a lot of enemies. And the one who has knowledge has a lot of friends. Of course, it is understandable why a person who has money has a lot of enemies, because of the fact when a lot of money is piled up, like I always say in my speeches, more than our necessities. If the money is piled up with any person, whether I have $1 more than my necessity, somebody has 1 million or billion, quantity is not the point. Point is the idea. The Islamic theme is that anything more than our necessities actually belongs to others, and it's an amanat of Allah in our control. That's how we are tested, how we behave in the amanat of Allah. So, actually the entire money is the amanat of Allah, but we are permitted to spend it as much as we need. What is more than the necessities has to be given to those whom the money actually belongs. So basically, when we pile up more of the money, we find that this piling up is impossible. La yajtama'u al-mal. It is impossible for the money to get collected except bi bukhlin shadeed. وَهِرْسٍ غَالِبٍ وَقَطِيعَةِ الرَّحِيمِ. It is impossible to collect the money and pile up the money without a strong, a person has to be miser, misery, bukhl has to be there. So, opposite of generosity. Second of all, هِرْسٍ غَالِبٍ. The guy has greed, which is ghalib and overcomes his fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa qati'at al-rahim. Which of the families you can find on the planet earth who has, is there any single family on the planet which has all of the members are rich of that family? Impossible. There is no single family in the whole world which has all of its members as rich. So every family has rich and poor. And no rich remains rich for all the durations of his life. That's the case usually. And at least in majority of the cases, it's like this. So basically, if we have qati'at al-rahim, we break away. In order for us to keep the money with us, we have to ignore our responsibilities towards our own relatives. And ignoring our fariza towards the relatives will make us, quote-unquote, breaking away. We are actually and practically breaking away our relation because we don't fulfill our obligations towards them. And إِثَارَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. And money cannot be collected unless a person gives preference to this dunya over akhirah. So these are the attributes which are compulsory for a person to be found in his soul, and at that cost he's going to pile up the money. So the fourth guy came to Imam and he asked the same question. Imam responded, إِذَا صَرَفْتَ مِنَ الْمَالِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْقُصْ وَإِذَا صَرَفْتَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ يَزِيدْ. If you spend the money, it gets decreased. It decreases. Whereas if you spend, and when you spend the knowledge, it increases. Basically, It's a fact that when you teach somebody, that's the time when you are actually learning. In the Hausa educational system, it is a norm in the Hausa, all the Hausas of Islam. That's the norm that every student of grade 2 has to teach to a student of grade 1. And every student of grade 3 has to teach to a student of grade 2. And so on and so forth. So basically, every student is a teacher as well. And in the Hausa educational system, they say, if you cannot teach a book, you didn't learn it. You are considered to be learned and qualified about that book only if you are eligible to teach it. Because when you teach, that's where you learn it inside out. Because then you have to explain it to others, then you have to know the book properly so that you can explain it to others. So your teaching is a sign of your learning. Fifth person came and asked, and Imam replied, Sahibul Mal Yad'i Yud'a Bismil Baqeel. The one who has the money is called in the name of Baqeel. That means he is known to be a Baqeel person in the society, in other words. Wal La'een, and in the name of a La'een, Past, a lowly person. Wa Sahibul Ilm Bismil Azeem Wal Kareem, and the one who has the knowledge is known to be Azim, great, and Kareem, a person having karamat. Sixth girl guy came and asked the same question. Imam Ali said, Al-malo yuhfadhu min as-sariq. Money is to be protected from a thief. Wal-ilmu la yuhfadhu min as-sariq. And the knowledge is not to be protected from the thief. Seventh person came in and asked the same question. Imam Ali replied, Sahibul mal yuhasabu yawm al-qiyamah. The one who has money will be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. وَصَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ يُشْفَعْ or يُشَفَّعْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We can read it both ways grammatically. صَاحِبُ الْعِلْمِ, and the one who has the money will be given the right of shafa'at on the Day of Judgment. So صَاحِبُ الْمَالِ يُحَاسَبْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The reason why our great orafa and scholars have simplest of the food like salt and the food, I remember it is narrated by Ayatullah Mishkini, rahmatullahi alayh, this great and pious scholar. He used to eat, in his life, he used to eat salt and bread. It's a very simple food. I mean, we have learned in the hadith about Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. I mean, nobody can be like them. Anbiya cannot be like Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. But these scholars who are not ma'soom have made greatest examples in front of us from the non-ma'soomeen. So, and through them we understand the azamat of Ahlul Bayt. Because if their servants are like this, how azim will Ahlul Bayt be? So, the reason why they have that simple food, because There's no accountability about the khubs, about the bread and water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ajal and more majestic than to hold anybody accountable for bread and water. So they don't have accountability basically. This type of simple food, those who eat that have no accountability on the Day of Judgment. So, eighth person asked the same question. Imam Ali replied, "Al-mal yandaris litul al-maks." Money gets spoiled if you keep it for a while, for a longer duration. Wa murur al-zaman, and passage of time. Wal ilmu la yandaris wa la yabla, whereas the knowledge is not spoiled and it doesn't get affected, in other words. So, you have those inflations and economic crises and depressions and recessions and all those things, and depreciation of money and loss of value and all those things taking place for money. Nothing of that applies for the knowledge. Ninth person asked the same question. Imam Ali replied, Al-malu yaqsil qalb. the money makes the soul qasi, qasiyul qalb, stone hearted or worse. Wal ilmu yunawwirul qalb, whereas knowledge makes the soul munawwar and nurani. In Sahib al-Mal, the 10th person asked the question, Imam Ali replied, Sahib al-Mal yadda'i al-rububiyyah. The person who has money claims rububiyyat, claims to be the Lord. Wa yadda'i sahib al-ilm al-ubudiyyah. And the one who has knowledge claims ubudiyyat and servitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rububiyyat? Don't think this statement to be a weird statement from Imam Ali al-Islam. This is perfectly true. That sahib al-mal yadda'i al-rububiyyah. That doesn't mean the person is going to stand on the street and then as soon as he grabs some wealth, he would say, hey guys, I'm your Lord. Nobody's going to say that. You know, there are rare people in the history who claim to be God themselves, you know, like Fir'aun or Namrud. They are very rare people. Rububiyyat doesn't apply to that only. Rububiyyat in Islam means anybody who makes his own laws. That's exactly what rububiyyat means in Islam. Rububiyyat means if you have your own personal ra'i and opinion in the presence of the law of Allah and you are ignoring Allah's law and you want to implement your own law to replace Allah's law. That means if you are here to dictate your law to any bunch of people, you are claiming rububiyyat in the presence of Allah. Isn't that right when Uday bin Hatim, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i. Hatim al-Ta'i was a Christian. He was a Nasrani, Masihi. He died. His daughter was taken as a captive by the Muslim army because they were fighting against the Muslims in the time of Rasulullah. And she was brought to Medina. And, the long story short, she said to Rasulullah that, you know, I am the daughter of Hatim, and he was a generous person. And when Prophet heard that, then Hadith says, Prophet said, "Khallu anha fa inna abaha mimma yuhibbu makarim al akhlaq." That means, set her free, because her father is one of those who loves the makarim al akhlaq. Makarim al akhlaq means are the exalted, the highest Islamic moral teachings. One of the exalted moral teachings of Islam is sahawat and generosity. So when Prophet heard from her, the daughter of Hatim, you know, that my father was generous, Prophet asked her to set her free. She was set free. She got so impressed and inspired by Prophet's akhlaq, she was sent under the supervision of some of the most trustworthy companions to Syria, back to her hometown in Syria. So again, another point which was very inspiring for her, that now the Prophet is sending me with a bunch of most trustworthy people, so nobody can touch her, nobody can do anything towards her. She is very protected, and with the protection of some of those trustworthy ashab, she was sent very, very safely to her home. She went back to her home, talked to her real brother Uday, who was still a Masihi and Isa'i, and narrated the whole behavior of the Holy Prophet. Uday was very much inspired. He decided to come and see the Holy Prophet. He came from Syria all the way to Medina to see the Prophet of Islam. And he was wearing a salib in his neck. And of course, Uday bin Hatim later on became converted into a Shia. He had his four of his sons, Tarif and Turaif and Tarfa and Atraf. Four of his sons, and all of them became shaheed alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of Siffin. So he is one of the very staunch allies of Imam Ali alayhi salam later on. So when he became a Muslim, he himself narrates this riwayat that I was wearing a salib when I came to see the Holy Prophet in my neck, salib. And Prophet, when he looked at that, he said, take that idol off your neck. And then I heard the Holy Prophet reciting this ayat from Quran, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. Talking about this ayat is talking about, of course, that they take their rabbis and priests, in other words, that's not the exact translation, I'm telling you the interpretation and tafsir of the ayat. So they take their rabbis and priests as their arbab, as their rabb, as their lords, other than Allah. And I said to the Holy Prophet, Uday says, we don't consider our rabbis and priests to be our lords. What are you talking about? And that's where the Prophet said, when your priests were making the halal of Allah haram, did you accept it or not? And he said, yes, we did. That's exactly what the meaning of considering somebody as your Rabb. This is what is the meaning of rububiyyat. If you accept your priest and you give him the license to make the halal of Allah haram for you, or haram of Allah halal for you, isn't that right? It is exactly you are considering them to be your Rabb. What else is the meaning of rububiyyat? Those were not the exact words of the hadith, of the Prophet. I am just explaining in my own words what we understand in the light of the hadith. So rububiyyat, I was explaining to you, rububiyyat in Islam, don't get misguided that who claims to be Allah? Very few people. The Imam Ali is talking about very rare people on the planet. No. There are a whole bunch of people who are claiming rububiyyat. Why? Because they are trying to impose their opinions in the presence of Allah's law on the community. So they are also claiming rububiyyat in the dictionary of Islam. Sahibul Mal Yadda'i al-Rububiyyah. It all starts from the money. Step number one, the money. That's the root cause. Wa yadda'i sahibul ilm al-Ubudiyyah. If it was not about the money, then you won't find those centers constructed in North America, $12 million center, and putting a ban on all those scholars who talk about Yawm al-Quds. Isn't that right? Isn't that Rububiyyat? What else is Rububiyyat? You're making a center and you put your own policy in the presence of the policy of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So why bother to make a center? Sahib al-Mal yadda'i al-Rububiyyah or Sahib al-Ilm yadda'i al-Ubudiyyah. So all of them, of course, converted into Muslims. All those Khawarij converted into Muslims. فجاءوا وأسلموا كلهم وقال عليه السلام لو سألوني عن هذا لأجبت جوابا آخر. If they asked me further, that means another question was asked, I would have given a different answer. So of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam is the one for whom the Prophet has said, كنت أنا وأنت يا علي, me and you, O Ali, نورا بين يدي الله تبارك وتعالى من قبل أن يخلق الله آدم بأربعة عشرة ألف عام. Me and you, O Ali, were nur in the presence of Allah before Allah created Adam, 14,000 years before Allah created Adam. فلما خلق آدم سلك وذلك النور في صلبه. When Allah created Adam, that nur was in his lineage, in his sulb. فَلَمْ يَزَلِ اللَّهُ يَنْكُلُهُ مِنْ صُلْبٍ إِلَى صُلْبٍ. Allah was constantly transferring from one sulb to another, one father to another father, in other words. حَتَّى أَقَرَّهُ فِي صُلْبِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Until he established that nur in the sulb of Abdul Muttalib. ثُمَّ قَسَّمَهُ قِسْمَيْن. Then Allah divided that nur into two. فَأَخْرَجَ قِسْمًا فِي سُلْبِ أَبِي. Allah brought out one part of it, one part from the sulb of my father, Abdullah. وَقِسْمًا فِي سُلْبِ عَمِّي. And one part from the sulb of my uncle, Abi Talib. فَعَلِيٌ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُ. And that's where the Prophet had said, and then the Prophet said that Ali is from me and I am from him. لَحْمُهُ لَحْمِي وَدَمُهُ Dummy, his flesh is my flesh and his blood is my blood. And also when we have this status of Imam Ali alayhi salam, then the knowledge has to be taken from him only. Lamma sirtu, the Prophet says, Lamma sirtu baina yaday Rabbi kallamani wa najani. When I was in the presence of my Lord, the Prophet is talking about the occasion of Mi'raj. Wa najani, and Allah did munajat, whispered talk with me. Whispered talk, of course, means in the tafsir of Urafa, it means there was nobody present. Munajat is between two only in Arabic. If there is a third person present, we usually use the word munadat and nida in Arabic. We don't use the word najwa and munajat. Najwa and munajat means a whisper. When do you whisper into the ear of somebody? When you don't want any third person to share your conversation. Isn't that right? If you want a whole bunch of people to share, then you don't need to whisper something. You can just say it loud. So najwa and munajat in Arabic is always when you are, you don't want it to share with anybody. So it was only between Allah and the Prophet. فَمَا عُلِّمْتُ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عَلَّمْتُهُ عَلِيٍّ. I wasn't taught anything except that I taught it to Ali. فَهُوَ بَابُ عِلْمِ. So he is the door of my knowledge. And we find the Holy Quran has already commanding us, لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. Don't enter the houses of the Prophet except you are permitted. Also the Quran is in saying and stopping us, لَا تَدْخُلُوا الْبُيُوتَ إِلَّا مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Don't enter into the houses except from its doors. So we have two obvious commands from the Holy Quran. Don't enter into the houses of the Prophet unless it is permitted to you. And don't enter the houses except from its doors. And scholars have said in that, you know, that the Ashraful Abwab, the most superior of all the doors towards the Holy Prophet, is Babu Ilmin Nabi, is a door of the knowledge of the Holy Prophet, which is Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa sallam. He is the only person in the history who has ever claimed the da'wah and claim of Saluni qabla an tafqiduni, ask me before you miss me. No one can ever dare make that claim other than Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa sallam. And there were silly people like Anas bin Malik asking silly questions from Imam Ali alayhi salam, how much hair do I have in my head? And Imam Ali alayhi salam replied to him that the Holy Prophet has informed me. Of course, Imam Ali alayhi salam can tell him the number of the hair, but he has said the Holy Prophet has informed me that that on top of every hair of yours there is a shaitan. On the top of your hair, every hair, there is an angel who is cursing you, and at the root of every hair of yours there is a shaitan who is deceiving you. So there were such people surrounding Imam Ali alayhi salam and asking those silly questions and wasting his time. So now knowledge, ilm and aql. Another very frequently found terminology is aql. Aql, which we usually translate it as intellect, aql in the Islamic dictionary means practicing in the light of ilm. If you do your amal and ibadat in the light of your knowledge, then you are called an aqil person in Islam. If you do not practice in the light of your knowledge and understanding of the religion, you are not considered to be aqil. When the hadith says, man kana, please pay attention, man kana aqilan kana lahu deen. Whoever is aqil will have a religion. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ دِينَ دَخْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. And who has a religion enters the paradise. So all it takes for you to enter the paradise is to be an aqil. So certainly aql can never be, the tafsir of aql can never be done in terms of knowledge only. Because knowledge only can never lead you to paradise. So practicing in the light of your knowledge, doing ibadat in the light of your knowledge with the understanding that the knowledge provides to you of the religion. So we find it is condemned in Islam that we accept things by hearing from the people without our research. مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي هَذَا الدِّينَ بِالرِّجَالِ Imam Qadir al-Islam has said, whoever enters into this religion through men. Through men means listening from the people. That's how our scholars have interpreted. You listen this and listen to that and listen to that from this person and that person, and that's the extent of your knowledge. You don't research, you don't study, you don't understand the Islamic concepts. So whoever enters into this religion through listening to this and that person, أَخْرَجَهُ مِنْهُ أَخْرَجَهُ There will be some others who will make him, who will take him out of the religion. You will listen to this guy to come into Islam, you know, you can always listen to the other guy and get out of Islam. So this is not the way which has aql and fahm and understanding of the religion. Understanding and fahm of the religion comes through learning the knowledge, understanding about it, and then practicing what we have learned. So actually the hardest of the times that Imam Ali al-Salatu wasalam had been facing was through two categories of people. Either the fasid and fajir ulama, those people who had knowledge but they are fasid and fajir, or those jahilun nasik. Nasik means ibadat guzar. A worshipper, a silly worshipper who just keeps on doing worships after worships after worships, and he thinks he's doing fine, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm doing worship, I'm doing a haram. But he is jahil, doesn't have aql. And this kind of person can always end up into the destiny of a khawarij. They were jahilun nasik, isn't that right? They were not scholars. Khawarij were not scholars. Khawarij were juhala. But they were abid. All of them were worshippers and they were doing Salatul Layl and Tilawat of Quran. But still ready to, you know, to kill Imam Ali alayhi salam and his followers and the pious people. Ishaq Ibn Ammar is one of the mawthaq and authentic companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He came and said to the Imam, جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكَ إِنَّدِي جَارًا كَثِيرَ الصَّلَاةِ وَكَثِيرَ الصَّدَقَةِ I have a neighbor who performs a lot of prayers and gives a lot of charities. A lot of charity and sadaqah. كَثِيرَ الْحَاجِ He did a lot of hajj. So, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him, Ya Ishaq. Imam is not impressed with these things that Ishaq ibn Ammar is talking about his neighbor. Imam is not impressed by these sifat. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him, Ya Ishaq, Kayfa aqluhu? How is his aql? That means, fahm, understanding, basirat of the religion. Instead of doing 1,000 rakat of prayers, you do 2 rakat of prayers in your life. Instead of reading 10 juz of Quran, you read 50 ayats of Quran. Fine. But you do it right, with understanding. Qala qultu lahu, I said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكْ لَيْسَ لَهُ أَقْلٌ He doesn't have no understanding. He's a very simple-minded guy. Doesn't think, doesn't reflect. قَالَ لَا يَرْتَفِعُ بِذَلِكَ مِنْهُ He is not going to get elevated with what he's doing, that, in other words. That means these ibadat that he's performing, you talk about his prayers and his sadaqah and hajj, nothing of these is going to elevate him and make him closer to Allah. So, this is from Kafi. And we have hadith from Rasulullah also in Kafi saying, إِذَا بَلَغَكُمْ عَنْ رَجُلٍ حُسْنُ حَالِهِ Whenever the news, in other words, the news of somebody reaches you, the guy is very good, somebody is very nice, his situation is good. حُسْنُ حَالِهِ He is a nice person. فَنْظُرُوا فِي حُسْنِ عَقْلِ. Look at his goodness of aql. When somebody talks to you about a mu'min, he's doing this nice job, this nice ibadah, this service, he's making a Husainiya, a masjid, going for hajj, for ziyarat. You have to pay attention, what is his basirat on the religion?
Fanzuru, look at his aql. فَإِنَّمَا يُجَازَ بِعَقْلِهِ.
Prophet said, he only and only he will be given reward on his aql. Remember the hadith which you open, Usul al-Kafi, Kitab al-Aql, Chapter al-Aql, the first hadith where the Imam is talking about the creation of aql. And he says, when Allah created the aql, Allah commanded him, aqbil, come forward. Aql came forward, it obeyed. It came forward. And then, which I'm, explaining the hadith to you, Imam said, aql, Allah said to the aql, aqbil, come forward, and it came forward. Then Allah said, adbir, move back, and it moved backwards. And then, so it obeyed perfectly, that means. So then Allah addressed the aql, Iyaka u'aqib wa Iyaka uthib. You I am going to punish and you I am going to give the reward. If you want to judge how much reward or punishment, your reward slash punishment, whatever a person is going to get, look at your understanding of the religion. This is going to determine your reward of whatever ibadat you did, and this is going to determine the punishment of whatever you did.
قَطَعَ ظَهْرِ رَجُلَانَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Imam Ali al-Islam has said, two people from this from dunya have broken my back. رَجُلٌ عَلِيمُ الْإِسَانِ فَاسِقُ.
A person who has, see, it's a beautiful statement from Imam Ali al-Islam, like all of his statements. He says, رَجُلٌ عَلِيمُ الْإِسَانِ, somebody who is knowledgeable in his tongue. He didn't say he has knowledge in his qalb. Of course, a person who is facet and doesn't practice his knowledge has no noor in his qalb. He has just memorized some terminologies to impress the people. Isn't that right?
So Imam Ali Islam says the first person that broke his back, Rajulun Alimul Lisan,
somebody whose tongue is knowledgeable. He's Alim of the tongue.
Facet.
And facet. Practically he's facet. He doesn't practice his knowledge.
Well, Rajulun, the second guy is Rajulun Jahilul Qalb.
Somebody who is jahil in his soul,
nasik,
performs the ibadah. He performs the ibadah without understanding the concept of Islam and basirat of the religion. That's why I always say in different cities that there are three compulsory requirements for every alim. And the same is true for every mu'min as well in the time of ghaybat. Knowledge, sufficient knowledge, and taqwa, that means we practice the knowledge. And third of all is basirat, political awareness. Insight into the religion.
If you don't find these three qualities in a scholar, then he's not a scholar. He still needs to learn himself first. هَذَا يَسُدُّ بِلِسَانِهِ عَنْ فِسْقِهِ. This guy is basically through his tongue he's defending he's putting a cover, he's putting a curtain, a cover on his fisk through his tongue.
This scholar who is fasik is putting a curtain over his bad deeds through his tongue, justifying his bad deeds through his charb zabani, his tongue.
وَهَذَا بِنُسُكِهِ
عَنْ جَهْلِهِ. And this jahil guy is covering up his jahil with his ibadat. His ibadat are basically fooling him and deceiving him, and the ibadat are covering up his jahil. He is fooled by his ibadat and he is fooled by his nice way of talking. Alim al-Lisan. His lisan. So, fattaqu, then at the end he says, fattaqu al-fasiqa min al-ulama. Keep away from the fasiq among the scholars. Wal jahil min al-muta'abbideen. And the jahil among those who are doing the ibadat. أُولَٰئِكَ فِتْنَةُ كُلِّ مَفْتُونَ. They are the mischief of everybody who falls into the mischief.
And the fitna of every maftoon.
So, somebody asked when Imam Ali al-Islam
when it was asked that, you know, if aql was defined, al-aql ma ubida bihi rahman, aql is something with which you worship Rahman, was kusiba bihi jinan, and you achieve, and the paradise is achieved. Aql is with the, with which Rahman is worshipped and paradise are achieved. So somebody said to Imam Ali al-Islam, that fallati fil Muawiyah. What about the intelligence that the Muawiyah had? What do you call it? Is it also aql? That's what some people used to call and consider Imam Ali al-Islam, na'udhu billah, to be silly. Some people commented that Ali doesn't know politics. This is exactly what some of the mu'mineen today talk about our leaders. Isn't that right? That they don't know politics because they don't understand Islamic concept. They are jahilun mutanassik. They themselves don't understand Islam. You know, and Islam, it's not the goals never justify the mean. You cannot just deceive and achieve your goal and interest at every cost by doing harams in your practical life. Every step of the way has to be halal if we are pursuing a halal goal. That's what they don't understand. Because you then, when you are doing every step of the way has to be halal, then you are facing problems and troubles of this dunya. And this is what they don't like, to face the troubles. So the easy way out is to blame the leadership. That's what they did to Imam Ali alayhi salam, that he doesn't know politics. Muawiyah is so smarter than Imam Ali. Imam Ali should have installed Muawiyah and Sham from his behalf until his government financially and in terms of iqtisad would have become powerful enough, and then he would have taken care of Muawiyah later on. Very sweet sounding satanic deceptions. So, فَقُلْتُ فَالَّذِي مُعَافِيٌ مُعَاوِيَةٌ. What is about the intellect that the Muawiyah had? Imam Ali said, تِلْكَ النَّكْرَى تِلْكَ الشَّيْطَنَى. That is the deception, nairang, dhoka. Tilka shaitana, that is satanism, that is shaitanat. Wahiya shabihatun bil aql wa laysat bil aql. Imam Ali Islam says, it is similar to aql, but it is not aql. So, it is very important for a mu'min to have the proper understanding in the light of ilm and knowledge, and that's, and then practice what we learn through, so we become aql. So when Islam calls somebody to be aqil, he has two qualities. Number one, he has understanding of the religion in the light of knowledge. Number two, he practices. He's not only practicing, otherwise it would be jahil mutanassik. He has understanding of the real concept of Islam in the light of knowledge as well. So, Qusam ibn Abbas Rahmatullahi alayh is one of the greatest ashab of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. He was the one who was the wali and governor appointed by Amir al-Mumineen in Makkah. And he's the brother of Abdullah ibn Abbas, Qusam ibn Abbas. He is a very great person. Till the Shahadat of Amir al-Mumineen, he was never removed from his position. He continued to enjoy the position of being the governor of Makkah, such a sensitive and focal place of Islam and the nerve center of Islam, the city of Makkah. Imam Ali appointed him to be the governor. And when Qusam ibn Abbas passed away, Imam Ali al-Islam did 25 takbirat on the janazah of Qusam ibn Abbas. It is not allowed in Islam. We don't do two salat. And on Islam, we don't pray twice on any janazah. That's not what Islam says. What I mean to say is that this is not what it, it's not part of Islamic teachings to pray twice on any janazah, except for ulama and great personalities of Islam, awliyaullah. So if Qusam ibn Abbas was not one of the greatest personalities of Islam, Imam Ali would never have prayed 25 takbirat on the janazah like the Holy Prophet did 75 takbirat on Hazrat Hamza salamullahi alayh. 75 takbirat on him. So Qusam ibn Abbas is a great personality, appointed as governor. Muawiyah sent some bunch of spies
to Makkah
to deceive the simple-minded people of Makkah and simple-minded people in Makkah against Imam Ali in the favor of Muawiyah. People are like sheep and cattle. An-nasu al-awamu kal-an'am. In Arabic we say people are like cattle. You hold one sheep and you move forward, you find the whole herd walking behind you. That's the way people are. Lots of people don't think before taking a leap. So Imam Ali sent a message to Qusam ibn Abbas when he heard about this news that Muawiyah is sending some of the spies to deceive the simple-minded people present in Makkah. Which I'm paraphrasing that hadith in my own words, that my spies, Imam Ali says, my spies have informed me. Imam Ali had spies who were spying on different parts of his empire. And my spies have informed me that from Sham, from Syria, that a bunch of people have been sent to Makkah. Those who are blind at heart, those who are dumb and deaf. These are all nice metaphors used by Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is his type of talk. When he talks about the satanically deceived people, that's the way it deserves to be talked like that. They are blind at heart, dumb and deaf. So that they can, at the time of Hajj, they can make the people dark and they can mix batil with haqq. And these are people, Imam Ali says, who are selling deen for the sake of dunya. And obeying the creature in the presence of the hukm of Allah. So they are taking milk out of the breast of this of dunya. And are ignorant and ghafil about the punishments of akhirah. So, make a plan accordingly. That means according to the caution and tadbir. Engage all the resources you have. To make a move against this. That means take a move against this plan of Muawiyah, and make a move which is aqil, make an intellectual move towards this, and at the same time being intellectual, at the same time it has to be serious and overturning and destroying the plot of the enemy. And then Imam Ali says, "Wala takun," and I'm coming to the end. "Wala takun in the na'ma'e bataran wa in the ba'sa'e fashilan." Don't be a person who is maghroor and becomes khushhal and happy and gets deceived when he has abundance of blessings. There are some people when they have abundance of blessings, they get so happy, they rejoice, they enjoy, and they forget their responsibility. Don't be one of those who is rejoicing in the time of blessings, becoming maghroor and basically getting deceived and starting to rejoice in the blessing time. Wala indal ba'sa'i fashiran. And when the hard time arrives, they become lazy in the hard time. So don't be one of those. That means in the time we have blessings, we should be very careful and vigilant not to get deceived by the blessings, not to start rejoicing with the blessings at the cost of forgetting our duties. And when the hard times are faced in our life, that's where we should be very active, not lazy. This basirat which Imam Ali alayhi salam, this is the bit of basirat. There's a huge bit of basirat that we learned from this letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This can only happen when we hang around with the scholars. This nuraniyat of aql can only come when we have mujalasatul ulama.
So the mujalasa is considered to be so high. It makes sense why sitting around with scholars is so high. The Prophet has said in his hadith, Al-julusu sa'atan inda muzakaratil ilm. Sitting and for an hour, it's not necessarily in those days, sa'am may not necessarily be used in an hour. Let's better translate, interpret it as a while. That's a better way to translate it, to interpret it. Al-julusu sa'atan, sitting for a while in the muzakaratil ilm, next to muzakara means where the knowledge is discussed. In a gathering where knowledge is discussed, sitting for a while in a gathering, in other words, where knowledge is discussed, أحب إلى الله من قراءة القرآن كله من إثنى عشر ألف مرة, Prophet said, is more beloved. Sitting for a while in the gathering of ilm is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than reciting Quran 12,000 times. Ithne ashara alfe marra. Whereas a jahil and nasik will be silly enough to be keep on reciting Quran and continue considering him to be a very nice guy because I'm not doing any haram. Isn't that right? Whereas one person who can sit in the muzakaratul ilm for 15 minutes is superior than this jahil who is reading Quran. He is more superior 12,000 times. If he reads Quran once, he gets sawab as more than, you know, sitting in that gathering is better than reciting Quran, more beloved than reciting Quran for 12,000 times. So, we don't have much options left if we understand this whole responsibility. So, we have only four options, and that's where I will end my speech. The only four options left to us. The Prophet has said, Ughdu aliman. In other words, you be a scholar and you yourself become a scholar. Aw muta'alliman, second option, or you become a muta'allim, somebody who is a talibul ilm, learning in the process of seeking the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, knowledge of Akhirat, which I already explained in one of my previous speeches. What does the Prophet mean from the word ilm when he uses? We are done with that discussion. Aw, the third option. أو أحبب العلماء, or love the scholars. That means the third option for the humanity. Either they become an alim themselves, or they become muta'allim, they start seeking the knowledge in the process of learning the knowledge of akhirat, or you are neither alim nor a muta'allim, at least love them. Love the scholars. Your love is going to, this is not in this hadith, it's not there in the hadith, this love is going to, I'm explaining to you. Love is for sure going you to combine with your mahbub. Because the hadith of the Prophet has already said, another hadith, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person is along with the one who loves, whom he loves. Whatever you love, you are with it. Here and there and everywhere, you are always with your mahbub. So if you love the scholars, you will be resurrected with the, in the zumra of ulama, in the category of scholars, in the group of scholars on Day of Judgment. Voila, the fourth option is not an option. You know, the fourth option is not considered to be an option. Prophet said, وَلَا تَكُنْ رَابِعًا فَتَهْلُكَ بِبُغْضِهِمْ. Don't be a fourth, or you would be devastated because of the bughz and enmity towards them. So if you don't love them, you are neither an alim nor a muta'allim, nor do you love them, you will be categorized as one of those who are hating them. And don't be one of those who are hating the scholars, because you will be devastated. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين
اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.